He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, senior Lakers insider for Clutch Points. And today on the show, we will be talking about the decision 2.0. Well, he called it the second decision. He said hashtag second decision in his tweet. So we will be talking about that. We'll be speculating about that. I do find it hilarious how in the summer that I've been like, kind of pushing against the industry of LeBron speculation, he just keeps giving us stuff to speculate over. So we'll go ahead and talk about that. And I think it's a Amazon Prime Day thing. Most of the people I've spoken to think it's an Amazon Prime Day thing, but just in case it isn't, we'll go ahead and look at things from the perspective of what other announcements it could possibly be. And what different kinds of announcements would mean for all involved. So we'll talk about that. And then, you know, yesterday the Lakers played a preseason game. Then Raj and I broke down the game afterward. And obviously that meant no mailbag yesterday. So I went ahead and asked for some questions on Twitter. We have a question from iTunes that I'll get to. And if you guys have any questions over the course of the show, you can hit me with them. And I will get to as many of those as I can. So we'll go ahead and get started here. With a quick reminder, please do hit that subscribe button. Please do hit that like button. If you guys are watching right now on Twitter, head on over to youtube.com/@LakersLounge to get to the show there. If you guys are listening to the show in its podcast form, please hit that subscribe button wherever it is that you get your podcast, preferably on Odyssey. Yeah, 5-star reviews, yada, yada, yada. Let's get going. So LeBron tweets out essentially the decision of all decisions, October 12th, 12 p.m. Eastern, hashtag salute emoji. Crown emoji, or no, sorry, no hashtag on the emojis, just the salute emoji, then the crown emoji, and then it was hashtag the second decision. And the video attached to that tweet was him walking into a gym, sitting down on a chair. There's some dude sitting across from him, and I've seen people trying to figure out on Twitter who that person is. I don't know who he is. I had people asking me who he is. I don't know. When I very, very first saw it, I thought it was Chris Paul. And if it was Chris Paul, I would have taken a lot more seriously. I don't know who that guy is. So if you guys know who it is, then let me know. And that would be new information that we would have to process or whatever, or take into account. But as it stands right now, I think it's a Prime Day thing. And the reason I think it's a Prime Day thing is because in June, we had a similar kind of tease from LeBron that led to this commercial.
LeBron, are the retirement rumors true? What's next?
What's the move? Glass, plate, bucket, bank.
You get the gist. It was him sitting down at a press conference. LeBron, what do you think about that? You know, and you know, it just wound up being another Amazon thing. But look, if the point is to get us to talk about this stuff or get us to think about Amazon, then that was a bunch of money that Amazon spent well. That said, here's my thing. We know he's getting close to the end of his career. We know when he announces that he's going to retire, it's going to be something like this. And by the time he actually does that, the more that he kind of goes down this path with this spiel, which potentially maybe If he did it again here, this is what I'm talking about. We'll talk in a second about what if this is really it, and it's that decision. But if this is another like ploy for Amazon on a Prime Day, which by the way, like, bring back good Prime Days. I can't recall the last time I bought anything on Prime Day, because the deals just aren't that great, you know. But anyway, if this is just another like Amazon Prime Day thing, then whenever LeBron makes that decision, or whenever he, you know, because it's going to be, he's going to do it big. He's incapable of just kind of riding off into the sunset. So like by the time he, like, we'll spend the next couple of days, like, was he being real? Was that real? Is that a real thing? And, you know, it'll just be because Amazon has cheapened the notion of a retirement announcement. So, yeah, I don't know. I look, again, it got us talking about this stuff, and it got us talking about Amazon, and that's probably the point here. But I don't love that, you know, and I also think it doesn't say the best things about us, or maybe me, that I've become so cynical because of these actions that it could actually be his announcement. And I'm just sitting here like, yeah, you know, I'll believe it when I see it. And, you know, that kind of sucks too. Let's try to figure out what other announcements this could possibly be. He has his upcoming show, right? They, the, what is it called? I forget what the his podcast is called, but, you know, that's coming back. He and Steve Nash, you know, filmed a teaser there where they're hard at work on the iPads there, you know, talking about the X's and O's and stuff like that. That's coming back, and this could be further hype for that. I saw some speculation. I forget where I saw. I think it was from my colleague, Brett Siegel at Clutch Points, who thought maybe this would be an announcement that this is his last season with the Lakers specifically. I don't necessarily know if I would buy that though, because, you know, he would be like, he's a free agent at the end of this year. But I don't know if he would want to eliminate the Lakers as a possible choice in that free agency. So I don't know that he would announce that, like, all right, I'm done with the Lakers after the season. Cause at that point, if you're the Lakers, you're like, well, shoot. Well, all right, thanks. So, you know, I would say that the only other announcement that would make some sense here is retirement, that, or upcoming retirement, that he's going to play out this season. And after this season, he's going to focus on all of the other projects that he has away from baseball or basketball. Jordan, Jordan slipped there. Or, good Lord, Freudian slip. So I, you know, if he is going to make that kind of announcement, I think he would, you know, it could be that kind of a deal where he sits down and he has that one-on-one. And I, again, I think if that was what this was, we would know who that second person was in that room. We knew who Jim Gray was when he made the first decision announcement. So, yeah, I'm of the opinion that I think this is just another kind of funny Amazon tease or whatever. And then, you know, cause like the other thing too, is if he was going to make that announcement, I feel like he would have made it back in the off season so that he could be asked about it on media day and then all these things. But I just, you know, I, maybe it's just because I'm so cynical. Might also be that I don't want him to retire. Like it might also be that it's my own confirmation bias here, where it's like, he's really good at basketball. He plays for the team that I root for. He plays for, you know, he really, really helps the Lakers whenever he's available. So, and also, like, even if he isn't on the Lakers, I would like to continue to watch him play basketball. It could be any of those things too. Right. So, you know, I still kind of come down to, I think this is an Amazon thing. I'm like 90% sure that it's in my probably, yeah, like I would say 90% sure that it's just an Amazon commercial. and we'll all kind of laugh at ourselves at noon Eastern tomorrow or whenever the announcement is finally done. And then we'll all kind of move on. And but look, if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. If it is an announcement, we'll start with like the announcement that it would be his last season with the Lakers. I don't even know how he would thread that needle, to be completely honest, where it's like, you know, I want to go to an organization that is focused on winning championships or can win a championship when you play with the top three player probably in the NBA on this current iteration of the Lakers. I don't know how he would, you know, square those two things. But if it is a you know, announcement that this is his last season with the Lakers, you know, it would, I would imagine, increase, I would say somewhat slightly, maybe moderately. Maybe it would, you know, moderately increase the you know, necessity to build a better roster this year and really give it a go, in, you know, with in the final year that you're going to have LeBron on your roster. I still am of the belief, maybe this is me being Charlie Brown and Rob Pelinka is holding the football there, but I'm still pretty sure that the Lakers eventually are going to trade that second, you know, that first round pick that they can this year and whatever other draft capital that they have to, in order to bring in, you know, the upgrade that they need. I still think they need a player who slots in between Austin and Luka, who has a little bit of athleticism, can defend positions 1 through 3, you know, kind of deal. And whoever that player would be, you know, probably is going to cost you that first round, like the kind of player that you're going to acquire who would actually increase the likelihood that you win a championship. That player is going to cost a first round pick, probably also cost Rui. And you know, I think there's a real possibility that the Lakers do that at some point this year. So, and then if the Lakers do that this year, now all of a sudden, you know, if LeBron says I'm done with the Lakers after this season, wouldn't look the best, you know? So, I don't think he would want to put himself out there on that perch, on that limb. Let's say it's a retirement announcement and this is it for LeBron playing basketball, period. Look, we saw Tom Brady have issues with this. We saw Michael Jordan have issues with this. I just think at that level of basketball and greatness, it's really hard to step away. So I think this, if this is a retirement announcement that we're going to get tomorrow, that we would get tomorrow potentially, I don't think it would be the end of that subject. I think it would come up a bunch over the course of the year. And I think at some point, you know, especially if LeBron's playing well and if the Lakers are good and if they get close to a championship, I think there's a real chance that LeBron goes, actually, this is kind of nice, and decides to run it back. So that's also a possibility. End of the day, I still am of the belief this is an Amazon Prime Day deal. If it is retirement, then, you know, the Lakers, I think, you know, again, would moderately increase the likelihood that they would go for it this year. I think it would inspire the locker room to really give it a go. You know, Clayton Kershaw did this with the Dodgers this year, where you know, he announced that this is his final year playing baseball, and you know, the Dodgers immediately went out, won a really good game. You know, then his last night pitching in Dodgers Stadium, they won their wild card series so far, and they're one up in their NLDS so far. So, like, I think it's possible that Kersh, you know, gave him a little kick in the butt to get going. And hey, guys, let's actually do something this year. You know, getting through it's been kind of a frustrating Dodger season by Dodgers standards this year. And, you know, maybe Kersh wanted to give him a little extra nudge. And I think here with LeBron, if LeBron can make an announcement that, gives the Lakers an extra little nudge here going into the season, then, you know, then everybody kind of benefits who is rooting for the Lakers. Another funny detail here is that apparently ticket prices for the Lakers game, the Lakers last home game of the season, which apparently they play the Utah Jazz, which is kind of interesting and funny because Kobe's last game at Staples Center was against the Utah Jazz. But yeah, I guess the prices and the resale market for that game, that final game, have absolutely skyrocketed. So, you know, good luck to those of you who are willing to pay a bunch of money, and risk that amount of money, given that there's a real possibility that, your money might be poorly spent as soon as tomorrow, whenever, or if LeBron does another Amazon, commercial. So if this is another Amazon commercial, but hey, you know, I do think the kind of people who have the means to just spend a shit ton of money, for the possibility of being there at LeBron's last game, maybe there's a couple of people there who know something and are willing to spend that money because of that. Otherwise that money looks really poorly spent, but I'm not here to tell anybody how to spend their money. I'm not here to tell anybody, you know, how not to spend their money. What I am here to do, though, is just to say, like, I think it's probably pretty likely this is an Amazon thing. And the last 15, 16 minutes or so, we may never get those back. All right, let's go ahead and dive on into the mailbags. We have one question from iTunes. It's a little bit long, so I'm gonna you know, kind of skip ahead a little bit. But the premise of this question, or the focus of this question is on LeBron's appearance on Kai Cenat's, I think that's how you spell his or pronounce his name. I'm old, but you know, he was on his Twitch channel to celebrate, you know, so I think hitting 1 million Twitch subscribers or something like that. And the first question that we got here from Chris Corleone, one, he was asked about the season. He said he's very excited and ready to go. This after the news of his camp saying to take it easy with him and the nerve glute issue was reported. Yeah, I don't know. I tend to think that the whole glute thing is you know, an excuse to just kind of not play. And yeah, look, LeBron was pissed at how the preseason was scheduled last year, where the Lakers traveled all the way out to Milwaukee to play a game there, when they didn't have to. So, you know, LeBron really prioritizes what rest in the preseason and in training camp. And this year it sounds like he's prioritizing it even more, in that regard. So, yeah, like the, you know, the notion that he would say that, yeah, I'm healthy, I'm ready, I'm good to go, and that contradicting reports or requests from his camp to tell the Lakers to take it easy, that doesn't necessarily surprise me all that much, because end of the day, you know, this is just kind of how LeBron has operated. And I do think that has kind of seeped into kind of the fabric of the Lakers organizational approach to preseason, which I think is a bit of a mistake. Second question here. This one you probably saw as he went 2 for 13 on Kai Cenat's rim on jump shots, and then he blamed it on the rim being crooked. But something funny where he was asked to dunk, and LeBron looks at him like, "Are you crazy? Are you trying to get me in trouble? My coach would kill me." Yeah, LeBron not wanting to dunk there is smart. And I also don't think that, you know, it's altogether possible that LeBron actually does have some kind of nerve thing going on in his glute area. And, you know, those things aren't mutually exclusive. It might be that they're like, this happens all the time, especially with tanking teams, where a player will come up kind of lame. And if a team is tanking, they'll go to that player and it's like, "How's your hamstring?" "Oh, no, I'll, you know, a little tweak, but I'm fine." He's like, "No, we really got to check out that hamstring." And then you'll find out that, you know, some player for like the Utah Jazz is missing 7 weeks is out. He's considered week to week, and he winds up missing 7 weeks because of a hamstring issue. So, I think that, you know, when it comes to this kind of situation here, maybe LeBron does have something going on there and he didn't want to dunk and make it worse. Maybe he's aware of the fact that, like, hey, we just told the Lakers to take it easy with me and I can't hop on here and dunk for the sake of your dunking. LeBron's also kind of a proud guy, you know, and I don't think he's the kind of guy who's like, you know, somebody tells him, hey, go jump over there, and he asks how high. That's not really how LeBron is wired either. So I think it's a bunch of stuff going on. And end of the day, it's all pretty innocent. Doesn't really mean very much. Last question from Kush Corleone. Lastly, I know you mentioned being concerned about Smart, but during JJ Redick's interview, didn't he say he expects Smart to play on Friday, which by the time you get this, maybe this will have already been answered. I too was annoyed that that was like one caveat. He's had all these strange injuries, but none of them have been serious leg injuries. Now he lands with the Lakers and all of a sudden he has an Achilles issue. Yeah, that's a fair note. Here's what I'll say about like this specific thing with Smart is I heard over the offseason that Smart was really trying to refocus on his body, get himself back to where he was a couple of years ago and you know, recondition himself and re-prepare himself for being, you know, one of the better defenders in the sport. And sometimes, you know, I've done this several times to myself where, you know, I remember, you know, because I used to be a decent athlete or whatever, as I always try to say. I was a good casual athlete, but I was never like an actual legitimate athlete. But I remember, you know, because I used to lift and I used to do plyos and I used to do all these things, you know, for the sake of being as good as at basketball as I could possibly be. And I remember, you know, in college, you know, especially immediately after college, you get married and you get comfortable and you let yourself go a little bit. And I remember looking in a mirror one time and I was like, oh, God, that's not what Jen married. So I went to the gym and immediately, and everybody does this, right? You go to the gym and you immediately try to do the shit that you were trying, that you were able to do only a couple of years ago, only to find out the next day when every fiber of your being hurts. Okay. All right. I can't quite do that anymore. And it wouldn't surprise me if Marcus Smart basically was like, all right, time to, let's get back at it. I got bought out. I got to try to extend my career, making more than the minimum or making more than you know, exception level money. Let's get back at it. Let's get back, you know, let's try to, you know, rework ourselves, get back to the shape that we were in a couple of years ago and maybe overdid it a little bit. Strain that calf. The tendinopathy is basically just soreness. So you know, you just overdo it a little bit and you get a little sore, and that soreness doesn't go away because as you get older, it takes longer to recover from stuff. And now Smart enters camp with this tendinopathy. So my guess is, it's something of that nature. But end of the day, it does suck nonetheless. And it is not one of those injuries that region of the body, the calf and the heel or the Achilles area, that is not an area of the body you want to mess around with a bunch. So the Lakers are going to play it pretty conservatively. Obviously, Smart didn't play on Friday. Obviously, he didn't play on Sunday. We will see his and everybody else's availability moving forward, but need him back and healthy and participating in these practices as soon as possible. I'm kind of sick of the updates of like, yeah, you know, somebody could have gone, but we decided not to. Let's actually get the most out of training camp that we can and head into the season as prepared as they can be. All right. This is funny. We have been talking here. We got another Adam Silver quote where, quote, there is no contemplation of moving the All-Star game, and NBA Commissioner Adam Silver says. Of course there's not. You know, Why not? All right. The first question that we have from Twitter, unless let me just jump in here really quick and see. All right. Yeah. No super comments. So from Twitter, I'll start with Ben's Headspace, who writes, here's the question. Is Rui good enough on defense for this team? Something is biting. He seems slow-footed and seems always to get burned on defense, often with his head turned in the other direction. Is he good enough on defense? No, is the short answer. No, for the role that the Lakers have him kind of lined up for. The Lakers see him as a fifth starter. They see him as a starter on a playoff team or on a team with championship aspirations. I have told you guys this for a long time running, that he has some fans in ownership and at the highest levels of the organization, excuse me, for a variety of reasons. And as such, it's been a little more difficult for basketball ops people to move this guy or to get a more realistic understanding of how valuable Rui Hachimura is. Now, as far as if he was scaled down, if he was moved down the rotation to the point where he's not starting, he's a six man, he's a scorer off of the bench, he's the safety valve for the bench units, he comes in off of the bench for LeBron and provides floor spacing from that spot and is that kind of a presence on this team. If that's who Rui Hachimura was, then yes, he would absolutely be good enough defensively for that role. But that's not how the Lakers view him, based off of the fact that he came into the training camp as the likely fifth starter. Then Marcus Smart got hurt, and he's almost certainly going to be the fifth starter now. Given the fact that, he has not been included in these trade talks. Not that he hasn't been included in trade talks, but that he hasn't been traded for some guys who I think would help him a little bit. Yeah, I think what it comes down to is he is, and also, if he was, I think he you could make a case that he would be good enough defensively to be a starter on a team with championship aspirations if he was playing the four and he could guard fours primarily, but that's not who he is on this team by necessity. He doesn't guard fours. He's going to guard as high as twos in the role that he's currently in. This is not like you're going to put Luka on twos. He'll just get burnt the whole game. So, I think for the role that he plays on this team and given the personnel around him, I don't think he's good enough defensively. And he's laterally quick enough to play the kind of defense that he would have to on this Lakers team. And that's probably going to have to be addressed over the course of the season. We got a super comment, which means I get to play this bad boy. Fuck Washington! All right. The question comes from Matthew, who writes, Anthony, I can't wait till we are out of the LeBron business. It's a shame, but yeah, man, wish him the best elsewhere. How crazy is that? Pretty crazy, to be honest. I will say this, it did cross my mind. I was talking to somebody kind of close to the Lakers about this situation. And I was like, do you think he was retiring? And the response was like, probably not. Almost certainly not. The thought did kind of, because the other thing that was brought up by this person was like, LeBron's probably good enough to play a few more years if he wants. And the thought did cross my head. It was like, I got to do this for a few more years. We're going to have this exact Prime Day commercial every 6 months or so for the next few years. So I think it's important to delineate two things. To be sick of LeBron, the basketball player, absolutely bananas, crazy. fucking nuts to be to look at what LeBron is capable of still as a basketball player and be like, nah, I'm good. That's insane. Absolutely insane. The other stuff where it's, you know, the only child syndrome that we kind of are always dealing with here. Yeah, I could see why people are a little sick of that. I'm a little sick of it. You know, now I pay a lot more close attention to this stuff than most do because I have to do this for a living, but or get to do this for a living. But like to those who don't have to, and every time they and because of the way that like news works nowadays, every single podcast, for the most part, I would imagine, is going to address this tweet from LeBron and speculate about it. The speculation about this tweet from LeBron is probably going to be one of the top headlines on ESPN and across the blogosphere. I could understand why people would be kind of sick of that stuff. That I will grant, Matthew, that like it's not that crazy to be sick of that. Still, because of how good the basketball player is, the stuff over here, I kind of deal with it. Like you just kind of have to deal with it. It's kind of like, you know, with, I don't know, like Magic, right? At various points in his career, he had no problem speaking up for the sake of things that he wanted. And, you know, that probably grew a little tedious. And the other thing, too, is we're living in this social media world and news and this this news climate where the point isn't to inform, but oftentimes to split us apart, but also to inflame, right? Like the point of a lot of news nowadays across all sectors, you know, politics and weather, right? Like the point isn't necessarily to keep us as informed as we can be. It keeps us as engaged as that news organization can keep us, right? It's why you go to the Weather Channel and they're always talking about some, you know, Cat 5 hurricane or something like that. I don't know. and you know, weather reports tend to be these very hyperventilating things. And yeah, climate change, yada, yada, yada. I shouldn't yada yada that, but still, like, you'll see these weather reports and then, you know, it'll come time for some of these things. And sometimes it's like nothing. It's absolutely like nothing will actually happen. And it calluses us for the next time that happens. And I think like with Magic and with Kobe and with, you know, Kareem and Shaq and even especially before those guys, it was a different news climate where it wasn't so inflammatory all the time. And then the point wasn't to just constantly keep your eyes addicted to the screen in front of you. It was, again, ironic because you're watching me on a screen right now. But like when Matthew, when you say like, you know, the follow-up question is in the 20 years that I watched Kobe, I never once thought, oh yeah, I can't wait till he retires. It was a different thing. And by the way, when Kobe was playing at the end of his career and he got that 2-year, $48.7 million contract, there were times where I was like, you got how much? Why? You know, and because him taking that much directly impacted the Lakers' ability to compete. Now, it wound up being this kind of silver lining or accidental silver lining because the Lakers were heading into tanking and it turned out a really good way to tank was to have Kobe on your books for $24 million. And the Lakers weren't able to, you know, at a time where they had to be as bad as they could possibly be to keep their draft picks. It turns out like a post Achilles, Kobe making that much money did actually kind of in a weird way, help the Lakers tank. It also helped them tank that they employed Byron Scott. So like they went into this like really productive, but somewhat accidental tank that, you know, went the way that it did because of the contract that Kobe had at the end of his career. But there were also times over the course of Kobe's last season, where you have Jordan Clarkson on the roster and you have these like budding young core, and Kobe was shooting 50 times a night, felt like sometimes, and it was kind of hampering some of these guys' development at times. And again, you had a coach in Byron Scott who seemed like the only point he served on that team was to ensure that Kobe kept on getting as many shots as he wanted. And I don't think that was the healthiest situation for some of those guys to start their careers in. Some of them have even talked about how unhealthy that was at times, especially as it pertains to Byron Scott. So, my point isn't that like you said this specifically about Kobe, I don't know, but there were certainly times, where I was frustrated with the Kobe experience nearing the end of it. That's how all of this shit goes. You spend 20 years watching somebody play basketball, or you spend 20 years with anybody. And as you near the end of that relationship, one way, or whether it's a happy ending to the relationship or it's a sadder ending to the relationship, there's going to be frustration at the end of it. So, yeah, I also think to a certain extent, some of the frustration with LeBron right now is us kind of subconsciously preparing ourselves for the end there and cutting those ties before it would hurt too much when he's not around anymore. And we come to realize, oh, yep, I'm going to miss that guy, because we're going to miss LeBron James. You know, that's just how this is going to play out. And whether we realize it in the moment, whether it takes us a little while, we're going to miss him a little bit. And yes, I'm not directly comparing the two, JD. Kobe's relationship with Lakers fans, LeBron's relationship with Lakers fans, two very different things. All I'm saying is that, like, even with Kobe, right? Like, even with Kobe, who got us those five championships, who gave us 20 years of super entertaining basketball, even with him, there was frustration at the end of it. My point is that, of course, there's going to be frustration with LeBron at the end of his very different relationship with Lakers fans. That's how the ends of relationships work, usually, far more often than not. Next question here from Frank Galden. Question, how is it an acceptable excuse for JJ that other teams are further ahead in their install than the Lakers are, and that he used that excuse in the most dismissive manner of, it's no big deal? All right, so full disclosure, the Suns literally did have a few more days of practice than the Lakers, and as such, we're a little bit ahead. That said, the Lakers' approach to this, you know, to training camp so far, compounds that issue. So it's hard for me to like really care all that much about how, you know, many extra days the Phoenix Suns had when it's only a handful of extra practice that the Suns have compared to the Lakers. When the Lakers have taken a pretty lackadaisical approach to the beginning of training camp, right? Listen to the way that Boston Celtics players are talking about training camp, where, and I'm not talking about like JJ Redick bragging about how players felt about him. I'm talking about like Jaylen Brown is like, this training camp so far has been fucking crazy. This is nuts. The pace of this training camp is absolutely off the charts. I don't think I've heard very much of that from Lakers players. You know, I think Gabe Vincent said that JJ ran him pretty hard or whatever like that, but it's not the way that some of these other training camps and some of these other teams have attacked training camp. So to a certain extent, I'm kind of sitting here like, okay, yeah, they got some extra time, but it seems like they've also been smarter with their time. Whereas the Lakers, like, I'll go back to this with JJ Redick, who calls himself a basketball sicko. I do think for the most part, he is a basketball sicko. I do think he is, you know, wired as a very perfection in a very as he's wired as a perfectionist would be. But if you're a basketball sicko, you're not taking vacation for the first weekend of Las Vegas Summer League. Like if you're a true basketball sicko, you're courtside. You're paying extra close attention, and you're there for all of those practices, and you're there for all of those games, and there's like There's never a moment. Like, none of the Lakers as an organization showed up for the first weekend of training camp. And so it's like, are you guys sickos, or was that a company retreat? What's going on? So, you take that and then you combine that with, you know, yeah, LeBron isn't practicing quite yet. You know, we're not really doing that stuff. Yeah, you know, Austin's healthy, but we're not going to play him in the second preseason game. And yeah, Luke is healthy, but we're not going to play him in either of the first couple of preseason games. I don't know. It's look, they have four more preseason games. And in those preseason games, maybe we'll see such significant progress that that all of this was moot. But if we don't, right, if we don't see enough progress and they enter the season and they complain about the amount of turnover, you know, that they had, you know, during the offseason, I'm going to roll my eyes, right? I'm going to sit there and be like, really? What turnover? You have four or five starters return this season. You, like, turnover, like, this is mostly the same team. This is definitely the same core. And you chose to take it easy going into training camp. And it, by the way, what's ironic here is that, like, this is the same thing that JJ Redick says that he's kicking himself over from the Minnesota series, where he said going into the Minnesota series, they focused a little bit too much on recovery. They took it a little too easy, and then they weren't physically ready for the challenges of that Minnesota series, and they got their asses kicked in game one. Well, if that's a lesson you take from that, and then this is your approach to the first week of training camp, then what exactly are we doing here? Let's see. We had, I think, one more question from Twitter. Tyler Nyzinski asks, why do the Lakers wait so long to get everyone on the court together? It feels like the first game of the season will be the first time where everyone actually plays together. Yeah, that's just kind of a follow-up to the points that I just made there. But yeah, it is frustrating. And the games over the weekend were, like, especially when it's already a longer off season because you got booted in the first round of the playoffs. We got a glimpse of skinny Luka playing for Slovenia. We would like to see what that would look like playing against more NBA players. Like, let's go. And we're all excited. First weekend of preseason games, and only Austin Reeves played in one of the games. Cool. Great. Like, it was definitely, you know, a bucket of ice cold water. All right. Let's see. A question here or speculation here from JD. I'm guessing LeBron will demand a trade publicly. Maybe that's his big announcement. I really, really doubt that, because that constitutes a fine. And over the, you know, last 23 years of watching LeBron's career, he has never been that direct about stuff. So I would be pretty surprised that's what he would ask for as active aggressively as that would be. But, you know, crazier things have happened, I guess. Sky Falcon 5, preseason is for the young guys and friends, rotation players to get some reps. Other than that, it doesn't mean anything. Hard disagree. Like, staggeringly adamant disagree with that point. Because, look, like Pete used a good word for it when we talked about it on Friday. It can be a harbinger, right? Like, he can... Like, when the Lakers, I had said that the Dwight Mayer season, they went 0-5. Somebody corrected me and correctly pointed out, no, they went 0-8. And like, you know, I would say that 0-8 stretch was pretty on the money when it came to how that season started. I think they lost the first couple of games too. Like, preseason matters. Here's the reason it matters more than any other reason. Because in training camp, in preseason, it's the only time during the NBA calendar where you are guaranteed a certain amount of practice time. Because by the time you get into the regular season, you have injuries, You have back-to-backs, you have fatigue, you have training and recovery that you have to also balance, you know, through all this. Like NBA teams practice time, you know, there's a precipitous drop from training camp to right when the regular season starts. And then maybe eventually, maybe the schedule breaks in your favor and you get a few extra days off. You get an extra practice day in over the course of the season. Or if you play really, you know, if you play well enough while everybody, you know, while those teams are competing in the play-in tournament, maybe you get a couple extra practice days then. But as far as like consecutive, the Lakers, you know, starting today have, you know, I think it's like five or six straight days of potential practice time. Like this is really rare for the NBA calendar. It's not like the NFL where in the NFL, you play a game on Sunday, you recover on Monday. If you won, maybe they give you an extra recovery day, but by Wednesday, vast majority of teams are already practicing again. So you're practicing on Wednesday, you're practicing Thursday. You have scout teams out there to prepare you for the team that you're playing again that Sunday. You have Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday's probably more of a walkthrough than anything, and then you play the game on Sunday. And you have that as repetition over the course of your typical NFL season. In the NBA, and baseball's like this too, you never get to practice in baseball, but practice doesn't matter as much in baseball because it's not like you're running a whole bunch of sets. And baseball is basically this like amalgamation of individual performances that you just kind of stack up at the end of the game. But in basketball and in soccer, right, in both of those sports, it's jazz. You have to develop that rhythm. You have to develop those instincts for your teammates. You have to, you know, hammer out your identity and all of those things. And you have to mold that on the fly with very little practice time over the course of the season. If you never sufficiently hammer out that identity because you didn't take training camp seriously enough, you're screwed by the time you get into the regular season because now you're playing catch up on all these other teams that did do those things. So yeah, I you're never going to convince me like, oh, lighten up. Preseason doesn't really matter. Training camp doesn't really matter. Hard disagree. All right. So also like the sometimes I don't know if this is how you're the point that you're making here, but every game matters. If you're a pro, winning habits matter. Like it's the reason that I think tanking, you know, affects teams. It's so easy for tanking teams to fall into the rhythm of tanking for years on end is because you're teaching all of these players losing habits, you know, like I don't think it's a coincidence that the Sixers and the process Sixers have never mattered basically. And the reason for it, yeah, you can point to injuries, you can point to all these other things, but part of the reason for it is because for so long, the very like fiber of that organizational identity was let's lose as much as we can possibly lose for as long as we can do it, stack up as much elite draft talent by getting those guys, but never actually developing the kinds of habits that would help those players become winners. And I think like if you don't build those habits, and by the way, the best time to do that is at the beginning of the season when you have all this practice time. If you don't hammer out your culture and you don't absolutely stress how important it is to be like, it's why I really respect the Pacers and the Heat and these teams that like didn't bottom out completely and built that culture up and maintained that culture and used that culture to have the kinds of seasons that they've had recently. Like winning always has to matter. And like I had a tweet during last year's preseason when the Lakers lost by like 50 something points or something like close to it, maybe even more. And I sent out a tweet. I was like, I don't care if it's fucking tiddlywinks. If I'm losing to the extent or to the relative amount of 50 points in tiddlywinks and I walk away from that thinking that that's okay, I'm just a loser, you know? And in this case, I don't like the idea of the Lakers, because for how many years now have we complained about their approach against lesser opponents? And that's born of going into a season thinking, oh yeah, we'll try here, we won't try here. If you begin a season with that approach, guess how the season's probably going to go. You're going to have to break that habit and then rebuild new habits. Why not just build habits, good habits, right from the get-go? All right. That, I think, is going to do it. I'm going to record a lowdown a little bit later for you guys. Thank you, everybody, for checking out those. Thank you, everybody, for your guys' questions here in this episode. I really appreciate that. Some really good ones here. And look, by the way, even if I ardently disagree with one of your questions or comments, it does add to the show. Like, somebody can present a different point of view and I might shoot it down, but end of the day, like, I, you know, that's a conversation that, or a, you know, subject matter that does need to be brought up. So keep those comments coming, and I promise I'll try to be nicer if I disagree. But until the next time you guys hear from me, I'm Anthony Irwin saying have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I will talk to you whenever I talk to you. How are we doing, everybody?
Bye, everyone.